Precious Father, allow me to be an instrument of your service this evening. Open our hearts and our minds. Help us to see the wrongs we have done to others and be willing to make right those wrongs. Help us to forgive others as you have forgiven us. Amen. I'm now calling you Mary Lou. Hi, friends. My sobriety date is January 17, 1983. So by the grace of God, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, I've not found it necessary to pick up alcohol in any form in a little over 35 years. And that's truly, truly a miracle. My home group is the Responsibility Group that meets Saturday night at 8 o'clock on Millfair Road. You're welcome to come join us anytime. Step 8, we're looking at steps 8 and 9 tonight. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. By completing the first 7 steps, we have come a long ways in making peace with our higher power and with ourselves. Now we begin the process of making peace with others, with our fellow human beings, with those that we share the earth with. In order to gain freedom from my character defects, I must take responsibility for them. I must own them. I need to be willing to do whatever I can to repair the damages that they have done to others. We begin to accept responsibility for our past actions by listing all persons we had harmed by those actions and become willing to make amends to them. From my fourth and fifth step, I had a list of people that I resented. And my sponsor helped me see my role in this resentment. Helped me see how my behavior had affected them instead of just looking at what they had done to me. The eighth step says all persons we had harmed. So I had to list the people I resented. Ugh, I didn't want to do that, but I had to. And I had to list the people and institutions that I had harmed by the actions of my past. You know, I couldn't be selective. I couldn't pick and choose who I thought deserved my amends. In the daily reflections, trying to trip me up, Holly. Daily reflections on August 9th. All the persons we had harmed. One of the key words in the eighth step is the word all. I am not free to select a few names for the list and to disregard others. It is a list of all persons I have harmed. I can see immediately that this step entails forgiveness, because if I'm not willing to forgive someone, there is little chance I will place them on my list. So not only are we looking at the people we're harmed, we're looking at forgiveness. Now the objective of step 8 is to begin to clear up the wreckage of the past so that we can live fully in the present. And I think that's what each of us want to do, live fully in this moment right now. We must avoid projecting the outcome of making the amend. You know, this is the eighth step, it's not the ninth step. All we're doing in this step is become willing. Become willing. You hear that word over and over and over again throughout the steps. Working the previous 7 steps prepared us for the willingness to do step 8. And again, I go to the daily reflections, August 13th. As I faced the 8th step, everything that was required for successful completion of the previous 7 steps came together. Courage, honesty, sincerity, willingness, and thoroughness. I could not muster the strength required for this task at the beginning, which is why this step reads, became willing. I need to develop the courage to begin, the honesty to see where I was wrong, a sincere desire to set things right, thoroughness in making a list, and willingness to take that risk required for true humility. With the help of my higher power in developing these virtues, I completed this step and was able to continue forward in my quest for spiritual growth. So this is a continuation of the process that we began when we started step one. This reading tells us that we need courage to begin. We need honesty to see where we had truly been wrong. We need a sincere desire to set things right. We need a thoroughness in completing our list. And above all else, we need a willingness to take the risk necessary to develop true humility. And no way did I have any of those in the beginning. So thank God step eight was where it's at, step eight. It followed the first seven, because the first seven prepared me to take step eight. You know, we had honestly assessed the exact nature of our wrongs and how they affected others. This same honesty and courage we called on in writing our inventory and sharing it is just as important in making our amends. Step eight is just a continuation of the process to find freedom and a new way of life based on applying spiritual principles to my life. This can be a painful process. In the 12 and 12, page 77 and 78. This reopening of emotional wounds, some old, some perhaps forgotten, and some still painfully festering, will at first look like a purposeless and pointless piece of surgery. But if a willing start is made, then the great advantage of doing this will so quickly reveal themselves that the pain will be lessened as one obstacle after another melts away. You know, I was a drug and alcohol therapist for years, and my clients would, you know, when I would try to get them to look at their past, they didn't want to. That's in the past. I need to let that go. But we have to deal with it first. You know, I have to be willing to look at my past and admit, take responsibility for my wrongs, and be willing, if I can, to make those wrongs right. Daily Reflections, August 12th, geez. It was painful to pause and look backwards. I was afraid I might stumble. Couldn't I put the past out of my mind and just live in the new golden present? I realized that those in the past whom I had harmed stood between me and my desire to continue my movement forward towards serenity. I had to look at the damage I had done and become willing to make amends. Only then could my journey of the Spirit resume. The journey of the Spirit. You know, I had to let go of my resentments and focus on my wrongs. I had to stop blaming everybody else. I had to remember that when I was pointing the finger out here, I had three looking right back at me. And what I discovered was that what I was finding fault in other people was a glaring fault in myself. And what I resented in other people, I really resented in me. I had to stop blaming. I had to stop being the victim. I said it over and over again. Victims do not survive. When I sit around and say, poor Mary Lou, poor Mary Lou, poor Mary Lou, next thing it's going to be poor Mary Lou, another one. Victims do not recover. If I was honest about my drinking behavior, I had to admit that my drinking behavior aggravated the character defects in others. I brought out the worst in those around me. I did not bring out the best. I had to take responsibility for that. I needed to forgive. My ability to forgive came from accepting and being compassionate towards myself. Forgiveness had to start with me. I had to forgive Mary Lou. I had to accept Mary Lou for who she was at this moment, right now. As I began to accept myself for who I was in the moment, this allowed me to begin to accept other people and their humanness. I began to be able to allow other people to make mistakes and not have to rip them apart. I needed to be willing to make amends to myself and to forgive myself. Now we look at the Lord's Prayer. It says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive." I had to be willing to forgive. The golden rule, love thy neighbor as you love yourself. It doesn't say love your neighbor better than yourself. Now, some of us do that. You know, if we treat, you know, we need to treat ourselves the same way we would our best friend. You need to be compassionate to yourself. You need to treat yourself. And really, you need to become your own best friend. And love yourself. We are looking for people and institutions we had harmed. In step 4, we looked at the exact nature of our wrongs. In step 8, we look at people. I didn't just lie, I lied to someone. I didn't just steal, I stole from someone or some institution. I didn't just cheat, I cheated some person. I had to be specific. Let's look at the word harm. In the 12 and 12, Bill tells us that harm is the result of instincts in collision which cause physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual damage to others. Emotions in collision. And when our emotions are in collision, our instincts are in collision with other people, and we are insisting on inflicting our way on other people, we cause mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual damage to them. You know, harm does not just involve physical suffering. We need to look at mental anguish we cause, property damage or loss we cause, emotional scars, financial harm we've done others, betraying a trust, just to name a few. We need to be honest with ourselves. We're looking at the harm we've done other people and institutions. We may say, but I didn't mean any harm by it. Guess what? It doesn't matter whether you meant harm or not. No matter what my intentions were, I need to own how my behavior affected others. What does the word amend mean? It sure means a whole lot more than just saying I'm sorry. Most of us said that thousands of times before we got sober. And people were sick and tired of hearing it. I'm sorry, yeah. We've heard that before, Mary Lou. It means that I am willing to do anything possible to repair the damage I did. I need to be willing to change and not continue my self-centered behavior. I need to be willing to change and not continue my self-centered behavior. There's that big word, willingness, again. And when I don't have the willingness, I pray for willingness. God, make me wanna. Step 9, may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. In step 9, we put our willingness into action. It is important that we work with our sponsor. In the 12 and 12, Bill tells us that this step requires good judgment, a careful sense of timing, courage, and prudence. And I didn't have any of those when I got here. And so I had to go to my sponsor for guidance, and she helped me. You know, you see it all the time. Newcomers, you know, they have a little bit of time in, and they want to run out and make amends to everybody. And the reason is that, you know, they're trying to make themselves feel good. You know, he wants to feel better, wants that instant gratification, wants outside validation to feel better inside. And when this happens, it's usually, he doesn't usually get the results he wants. He usually gets more regrets. And more amends have to be made later on when he finally gets to step 9 and does it properly. You know, there is no pat answer on how to make amends. Work with your sponsor in prayer and meditation to seek guidance. You need to have a plan on how you're going to repair the damage. Ask the person when you go to them, what can I do to repair what the harm I did you? And be open. And remember, it's about you. It's not about what they did you. And I want to say a word of caution about living amends. Sometimes they have to suffice. But when I make a living amend, I'm really just living life the way I should have been all along. It's really no big deal. I mean, I should have been living that way. You know, your sponsor will help you decide if that is the road you're going to take with each amend. And don't use the phrase to harm others as an excuse not to make amends. It is important to begin making your amends as soon as you complete step 8. The 12 and 12 page. Page 87, at the end of step 9. We should try to be absolutely sure we are not delaying because we are afraid. For the readiness to take full consequences of our past acts and to take responsibility for the well-being of others at the same time is the very spirit of step 9. I'm going to read that again. For the readiness to take full consequences for our past acts and to take responsibility for the well-being of others at the same time is the very essence of step 9. And in the big book on page 83, A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry won't fill the bill at all. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. Our behavior will convince others that we mean our words. We should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being subservient or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. And I think some of us think that when we're making amends, we need to lower ourselves, we need to grovel. No, we go to the person with our head held high. We say, this is what we've been, this is what we've been doing. We want to change, and we are changing, and how can I fix the harm I've done you? And then we accept whatever they say, okay? But we do not have to go crawling to anyone. God does not want that of us. And then it goes on to say, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. And that's where the 12 promises come in. excuses. I gave out a handout that I took from the big book that tells exact, gives us exact directions on how to make our direct amends. Take that home with you, look it over, study it, share it, do with it whatever you want. The first amend I made was to God. I had to ask God to forgive me for the way I'd lived the past, 16 years of my alcoholic degradation. And I had to ask forgiveness for that. And I had to believe, and I believed that God had forgiven me. The next amend I made was to myself. Before I could truly forgive others, I had to forgive myself. And I wrote a letter to myself. And I wrote, "Dear Mary Lou, I forgive you, Mary Lou, for da 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 da. I forgive you, Mary Lou, for da 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 da." And I was very, very specific in how I had harmed myself and in forgiving myself. I was a school teacher of special needs students. And one of the areas that I felt the worst about was how I had cheated my students. There were times I came out of blackout standing in front of my classroom, not knowing what subject I was teaching. Having to look at, to see what students were there to figure out what subject I was teaching. Now, I'm not proud of that, but that's where my alcoholic degradation took me. Now, those students deserved a lot better than what I was able to give them. I have been able to make some direct amends to them, to some of them. I have ran into them, and God led me to make those amends. I have met some of them in these rooms and been able to make amends to them. And usually when I make the amend, what I hear is, "Oh, Miss Willie, you were the coolest teacher we had." I'm sure I was. Yeah, I'm sure I was. I helped start an outpatient drug and alcohol program for mentally retarded young adults. And it was one of two in the state of Pennsylvania. I'm very proud of that. But that was a gift from God. That's how God allowed me to use my alcoholism to help teenagers and young adults. I'd harmed a lot of them, but he allowed me to turn that around and to help. I also helped adolescents in an outpatient drug and alcohol program down in Crawford County for 5 years. And I felt good about that. God has allowed me to use my past to help others. No matter how far down the scale we've come, we will see how far down the scale we've gone. We'll see how our past can benefit others. Okay. Probably the worst thing, and the thing I had the most trouble forgiving myself, I shared early on in these presentations, that my alcoholic bottom started when I was drunk and struck a 17-year-old girl with my car, and she died. I had a horrendous time forgiving myself for that. I beat myself up with that guilt day in and day out for 2 years, and I almost let that guilt kill me. But I did believe God had forgiven me, and that was the ray of light in my tunnel of darkness, was that God had forgiven me. When I was working on my ninth step, I wrote a letter to the girl. And I have since shared that letter with other teenagers, or with teenagers who have to go through similar things. And just sharing that has helped other people. I had her parents on my amend list. My sponsor and I spent a lot of time in prayer and meditation on what should be done there. Was this something that I could make a direct amend for? And we decided that we had to leave that in God's hands. And if he ever wanted me to make that direct amend, he would present me with the situation, and I would know beyond a shadow of a doubt what I was supposed to do. Christmas, shortly before I was to turn 5 years sober, I was leading at the Lawrence Group. And after my lead, Chuck Lewis, who was an old-timer in the program, came up to me. Now, Chuck Lewis also was the doorman at the Manicore Club and managed the bowling alley at the Manicore Club. And Chuck came up to me and he said, "Mary Lou, you don't realize you knew the girl's parents, do you?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, when you worked at the Manicore Club, you waited on them every Friday night for several years." And I had no idea of that. And he went on to say that they have followed you, kept track of you since that accident. And they are so proud of the way you've turned your life around. And they are so proud of what you are doing with your life today. And what a gift. What a gift. And that's the best Christmas present I've ever been given. To know that they had forgiven me. You know, it's a gift I can never repay. Uh-huh. All I can do is continue to share and help others. You know, God's allowed me to use that experience of hitting somebody and killing somebody, taking a life, to help others. There's been many rehabs that when they get a client in who has just gone through that, they call me and ask me, "Mary Lou, will you please come and talk to so-and-so?" And I go, and I share. And I hope that I can help them get through their guilt a little more easier than what I made it through mine. You know, I still have pain associated with that accident, but it's a guilt-free pain. It's a pain that keeps forefront in my mind where alcohol took me. It's a pain that keeps forefront in my mind where alcohol will take me again if I so choose to pick it up. But it's a guilt-free pain. I have one more thing to read. Daily Reflection, September 4th. No, that's not it. There it is. Reconstruction. The spiritual life is not a theory, it works. But I have to live it. Step 9 allows me to move into the final phase of the initial steps, which taught me how to live a spiritual life. Without the guidance and strength of a higher power, it would be impossible to proceed through the various stages of reconstruction. I realize God works for me and through me. Proof comes to me when I realize that God did for me what I could not do for myself by renewing that gnawing compulsion to drink. I must continue daily to seek God's guidance. He grants me a daily reprieve and will provide me the power I need for reconstruction. Today I am free. I'm free of my past. Today I try to approach life with love and kindness, with a deep respect for the feeling of others. I am no longer consumed with self, which has freed me to love myself even more. You know, and then we're at the 12 promises. If we are painstaking about this phase of our recovery, we will be amazed before we're halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. Is it worth the pain of those first 9 steps to get to that point? Hell yes. I wouldn't change it for anything. I want to thank you for allowing me to share this evening. I love you all. There's not a damn thing you can do about it. Okay. I'm done.
Great job.
Thank you.
Fantastic job, Haley. Now we're going to open it up for questions and answers. Anyone have questions?
And just because you know who I am, I have a serious question. I understand the part of keeping my side of the street clean and making amends and looking at what I've done. I think what I want to know is, which I didn't bother to ask you, is what about when someone hurts you and you've come to a place where, okay, I really forgive you, you know? But they'd have no clue. Doesn't matter! I'm finishing my sentence. What doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter what they think and whether they accept your amend or if they don't. They don't have to have a clue whether they hurt you or not.
They don't?
No. It's about you.
Oh, then I still got a lot of work to do because I really want them to know.
No.
I wanted to go and tell them you hurt my feelings and I forgive you.
That's not the point of the amend. No.
That's not right, right?
No.
That's probably why I didn't ask you because you wouldn't let me do that.
I hate to tell you this, but we have had this conversation
several times probably throughout the years. Yes, okay. She's my sponsor if anybody's wondering why she's talking at me that way.
Other questions? I can come up with one. Hey, Adam and Elka. When I made my amends, which I haven't gone through all of them, but like I made like the big ones to like my friends, and family especially. But then like every now and again, I'll have like something pop into my head where like, oh yeah, I remember saying that. That was pretty terrible, but I don't remember who I said that to.
Okay.
Or, like, I know who I said it to, but I'm never going to see that person again. I guess, in those situations, would that be more of like a living amends?
Well, okay, when you know the person, you don't think you're ever going to see them again, you put them on the list anyway because you're going to be willing to make amends just in case you ever do. Okay. If you can't remember who it is, you just, you ask God's forgiveness and you forgive yourself and make an effort not to repeat that behavior. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, thanks again. You were terrific as always. My question to you is, could you expound a little bit more on this living amends thing?
Okay, living amends, a lot of times we say, and you hear it, people say, well, I'm just, I'm a living amend. And all that is you're living the way God wants you to live, but that's the way you should have been living all along, so what's the big deal? But there are, there are cases where a good example, I think, is with the girl's parents. I never ever went to them and made a direct amend. I worked with my sponsor, we prayed about it, we meditated about it, and we decided that we had to leave that up to God. But that amend, the way I lived my life was that amend to them, and they saw that.
So people can't take credit for living amends?
No, you're just doing what you're supposed to be doing anyway. It's an excuse, the easier, softer way, We know from the big book, the easier, softer way avails us nothing.
I yell at a little
bit. He's got big shoulders.
I got big shoulders. All right, everybody. Thank you very much.